the Eagles stand at an undefeated 2-0 and pack their bags and head out west to reunite with Kevin Cobb and his Cardinals this Sunday. Welcome to Green Zone, everybody. I'm Becky Brensinger.
And I'm Bob Bumbera. Boy, it doesn't feel like it was that long ago when Cobb was here in Philadelphia. But we're going to talk about that win over the Ravens to make the Eagles 2-0. What lies ahead against those undefeated Arizona Cardinals?
And stay tuned because we're going to look at Randall Cunningham and another aspect of his versatility.
Oh, boy, number 12, one of my favorite Eagles of all time. And he'll be in our bracket breakdown this week as we search for the greatest Eagle of all time.
All that and more on Eagles Green Zone.
And as we do every week on Eagles Green Zone, we kick things off with first and 10. Hello, I'm Bob Bumbera, and we're taking a look at the Eagles' big come from behind win over the Baltimore Ravens, 24-23, a hard-fought comeback. And what lies ahead this Sunday? The Arizona Cardinals, also undefeated at 2-0. Joining me on first and 10, three-time Super Bowl winner, former Eagle Dan Klecko, and Chris McPherson from PhiladelphiaEagles.com. Good to see you, Chris.
Good to see you as well, Bob.
Well, let's first start things off with this Ravens game. Dan, it was a battle to the end. And again, for the second week in a row, another comeback victory led by Michael Vick. What is this telling you about the way Vick is approaching the game and really the way this team is approaching the season so far?
Well, what I say about this team right now is this is money in the bank. What you're doing right now, you're testing your mettle. You're finding ways to win. These are games they wouldn't have won last year. And when this will count and this will pay off is when they get into the playoffs. So they have to go on the road in a big game or late in the season. That's when they'll be able to draw back on these experiences, coming from behind, winning in the fourth quarter. And this is when they'll be able to dig down deep.
You know, there were a lot of turnovers in this game, Chris. Still, the Eagles had four turnovers, two interceptions by Vick again, but yet he comes back through this. How do you feel differently about Vick and the Eagles' offense after the Ravens game as you did with coming off the Cleveland game?
Now, look, Vick, I think, was simply marvelous. Everyone's going to look at that first interception and they were concerned. Oh, boy, here we go again. But he threw for 371 yards, three total touchdowns, including the rushing touchdown. Had the fourth quarter comeback drive. He was finding all of his receivers. Selleck had a masterful game. And that pass to Deshaun Jackson down the sideline.
How big of a throw that was. That's getting lost.
That's one of the best throws you're going to see in the entire National Football League this season. So, really, outside of that early interception, I think Vick was simply marvelous.
Dan, I want you to talk about the play of DRC, Michael Kendricks, and D'Amico Ryans.
The defense, once again, steps up. You look at DRC, he's having, it is a contract year. He's having a Pro Bowl year right now. He really is. Michael Kendricks continues to impress in his rookie season. I think he looks like one of the early candidates. I know it's only 2 weeks in the season for Defensive Rookie of the Year, and he's everything you wanted. You look at D'Amico Ryans, he's everything you wanted from Houston. He's that guy you thought you were going to get. Really has flipped a switch on in this regular season, has become not only the physical leader on this team, but the emotional and spiritual leader also. You could see it. You could see it in that last two-minute drive, him barking out, getting people in the right places. That's what I like about him right now. He's that guy we were missing last year, in my opinion.
Well, Dan, certainly on the defensive line, some players stood up when other players are being effectively blocked, and Becky has more on that.
That's exactly right, Bob. When one half of the defense gets neutralized, the other half steps up. As you could see, Trent Cole recording his first sack of the season. That's going to gain momentum into Sunday's game. But the big question is how was our powerful defense going to match up against the Cardinals' shaky offensive line?
Well, offensive line, the Eagles got some issues. Jason Kelce now out for the season with a really bad knee injury. What are the Eagles planning to do offensively? I know Dallas Reynolds is going to start at center, Chris, but offensively, King Dunlap was injured as well. How are they going to maneuver the offensive line against a really tough Arizona defense?
Yeah, great point there. Very, very good. Darnell Dockett, Clayce Campbell, it'll be some tough matchups there for the Eagles offensive line. Dallas Reynolds, 3 years in the system. He's experienced, obviously not starting an NFL game, but I thought he acquitted himself very nicely in the second half when he had to go in there for Kelce. A little bit bigger, gives you more girth, about 25 pounds bigger than Kelce. The question is, can he block at the second level as well as Kelce did? And you're going on the road for your first NFL start in a noisy Arizona stadium, especially with the team being 2-0. So they're going to be very excited about the team. So that's going to be the big challenge for Reynolds, knowing all week he knows he's going to be the starter and that he's going to have to step up.
It's Pittsburgh's defense, essentially, where you're going to have all those Mike Will cross stunts, and that's where Dallas, I don't think he's going to struggle a lot. I think he's going to be all right. Like you said, he's been in the system for 3 years, but it is going to be different seeing that and seeing all those blitzes coming right at you on the road. You know, he's going to have his head under his legs, and that's going to be tough to see all that stuff. So it'll be interesting to see how quickly he adapts.
All right, guys, talk about the blitzing that the Cardinals will do. How will the Eagles, Chris, adjust on what they do with their wide receiver package and their passing play?
Well, you've seen DeSean Jackson run a lot of crossing routes in his first couple of games. I wouldn't be surprised to see that take advantage of the middle of the field. Cardinals have a very good middle linebacker in Darrell Washington, but the key to this game will be Clay Harbor, the second tight end, someone who came in and helped Demetrius Bell at the left tackle position in the second half when King Dunlap came out with a hamstring injury. So I wouldn't be surprised to see some extra protection up front. You'll see LeSean McCoy, Bryce Brown staying back maybe to chip a little bit more. Certainly make sure Michael Vick has enough time in the pocket, but I really think you're going to allow DeSean Jackson, the receivers, to do their thing.
All right, Chris and Dan, a lot to look forward to with two undefeated teams. And this week on First and 10 in Eagles Green Zone, we take a look at a new segment with Becca.
Much has been said about Randall Cunningham's athletic ability, but many people don't know that he was an All-American punter in college. With that, we give you Prior to the Snap.
Randall Cunningham has been involved in his fair share of unforgettable moments as a Philadelphia Eagle. There's that incredible play in 1988 where his cat-like reflexes kept him upright long enough to find Jimmy Giles for a score. Then in 1990 in Buffalo, where he scrambled around in his own end zone, and then heaved a pass to Fred Barnett for a 95-yard touchdown. But one of Randall's most truly memorable and unique plays came during the 1989 season when he booted a punt 91 yards, a franchise record. His astounding punt helped the Eagles on the victory, but let's take a look at the moments before that play to see how crucial his punt really was. On a very windy day at Giants Stadium, the Eagles and Giants went back and forth, with Philadelphia getting out to a 14-point lead thanks to the tenacious play of their defense. On the first drive of the game, Reggie White sacked Phil Sims, forcing the ball loose, and William Frizzell scooped it up, then tossed it to Andre Waters, who ran it in for the score. Later, Clyde Simmons intercepted a Sims pass and dashed 60 yards for the touchdown. New York climbed back into the game, and the two teams entered the fourth quarter, tied at 17. With the Birds facing a 4th and 33 from their own 2-yard line, they needed to get off a good punt. Their regular punter, John Telchik, was on injured reserve, and backup punter, Max Runiger, struggled with the windy conditions. So Eagles coach Buddy Ryan figured that he would keep the ultimate weapon out to punt. Randall wasn't an amateur when it came to punting. He punted at UNLV and still holds the school record for punting average. So standing inches from the end line, Randall took the snap, unwound his right leg, and booted the ball high into the wind. Giants All-Pro punt returner Dave Meggett was hesitant in trying to catch the ball and let it roll and roll until he picked it up at the 7-yard line. On the next play, defensive tackle Mike Golick sacked Sims and forced a fumble that Mike Pitts recovered on the Giants' 7-yard line. Two plays later, Eagles running back Keith Byers plunged over the goal line from 2 yards out for the game-winning score. Cunningham's punt single-handedly set the Eagles up for the win. This victory was the fourth straight against their divisional foes. The Eagles went on to win 11 games in 1989 and made their second consecutive playoff appearance.
Eagles Green Zone is brought to you by NovaCare Rehabilitation, the power of physical therapy. Dunkin' Donuts, America runs on Dunkin'. And Thomas Jefferson University Hospitals. Call 1-800-JEFF-NOW for an appointment. Bracket breakdown time here in Eagles Green Zone as we search for the greatest Eagle of all time. And with Chris McPherson and Dan Klecko, I'm Bob Bumbara. All right, guys, we got the winners of the first region, the Veterans Stadium region. Let's take a look at what we got here. Some of the winners. Any upsets? Chris, let me ask you first. Let's look. All right, Reggie White, Jason Babin, a 116, no surprise.
No surprise, but to me, Bob, you have to have a 12-5 upset in any bracket. It wouldn't be bracket madness without it.
Well, you're talking about Sheldon Brown, Dan.
I like Sheldon. I like what he was for this team. He was kind of that part of the start of this back in the early part of the decade, so I have no problem with that one.
And I like the next matchup coming up down here, the 2-10. Donovan McNabb advances. with Andre Waters. Chris, what do you think of that match?
No, I think Donovan McNabb wins hands down. I think the fans will show how much they truly appreciate the great years at McNabb here in Philadelphia. And I know Andre Waters is beloved for that great defense he played. I think McNabb gets this one.
I think it's going to be closer than you think, because I think there will be some sentimental, you know, feelings with Andre Waters and the passing of Andre Waters. But still, Donovan McNabb was, in my opinion, the greatest quarterback to ever play for the Eagles. So I think he should go through.
That's one of the great things we've got with Bracket Breakdown. You do get the sentimental versus the all-time guys. And in the second region, what stands out to you as a really good battle? Randall and your guy Selleck, what do you think of that one?
Nah, people love Randall. We actually had that battle one day on the radio, and Randall beat all the other quarterbacks. But I think this is the one I look at right there. I think that's going to be tough for people, because if Jerome Brown never passes away, he might have been one of the best defensive tackles to ever play the game. And Jeremiah Trotter, people loved what he has. The Axeman here, they loved what he was. So that to me will be an interesting one coming up.
Jerome only 5 years with the team before he sadly passed away. Another good battle with 6-11. Seth Joyner, Chris, and Trey Thomas.
Seth Joyner, huge part of the Gangrene defense, was a Sports Illustrated Player of the Year in the 1991 season. One of only 11 players, I believe, to have 20 sacks and 20 interceptions in an NFL career. I lean towards Joyner in this one.
Do you really? I still think it's that fresh in the mind, probably, Trey. And I think the fact that he just retired, I think people will remember that. But it wouldn't shock me if either of them went.
Yeah, I think you get into a generational battle like you do every week.
Exactly.
Talk about these regional breakdowns. You got another Hall of Famer, Norm Van Brocklin and Keith Jackson, the 7-10 matchup, Chris.
To me, Norm Van Brocklin, the heart and soul of that 1960 team. I understand Chuck Benarek and everything he did, but Tommy McDonald said himself that if you took Norm off of that team, there was no way they were going to come away with a championship. So I know it was a short time here in Philadelphia, but he helped bring the city its last championship. I think he pulls this one out.
And go ahead, Dan.
Pro Football Hall of Famer, he should go through.
Exactly. Well, Dan and Chris, as you know, a lot of these guys have taken many different routes to get to the NFL and pro football. Some of them really serious, some of them not so serious, and that's certainly the case with Eagles long snapper John Dorenbos.
Hey, what's up, guys? I'm John Dorenbos, long snapper for the Philadelphia Eagles. My path to the NFL was off the chain. See, I thought I was the greatest high school player ever, but apparently not one college in America thought the same thing as I did. So I went to a junior college, balled out in the number one JC conference in America, though we didn't win a game for 3 years. The school was 0-30. It's not a big deal. And again, I thought I was unbelievable. Apparently not any other college in the country thought the same thing as I did. So I basically made like this ultra highlight tape. It was a combination of three players. Myself, the guy I rotated with, Nick Heinle, and a 6'6 long snapper named Tim Thurman, who was a beast, better than I am now. And the clips of Nick and I, it was awesome. You couldn't really tell us apart. I was finesse fast. He just crushed people. So I had like these finesse plays with somebody crushing. And then I had highlights of a 6'6 long snapper who was money. Keep in mind, I'm not 6'6, and I wouldn't really consider myself a long snapper at the time. So I sent the tape out. UTEP needed a long snapper, and they signed me to a full ride to long snap for the University of Texas, El Paso. So I quickly learned how to really snap efficiently and correctly right before I reported to training camp. Training camp, I had some growing pains. You know, I don't want to say I was perfect at the time. I had pads on, and it was much different getting hit by Division I athletes. But I knew I could do it, so I snapped for UTEP for 3 years. I got a chance with the Buffalo Bills, and Coach Danny Smith at the time picked me up. And here we are 10 years later, and I'm still snapping for the Philadelphia Eagles, and I'm loving every day of it.
One of the truly fun and exciting aspects of Eagles Green Zone is the access that Becky has to players right here at the NovaCare Complex. And this week is no different.
We're here with Jason Avant. Jason, growing up in Center City, Chicago, your game was basketball. But your coach said that if you wanted to play basketball, you had to play football. Mm-hmm. Talk about how important was that suggestion now looking back.
I was huge. Now, back then, I cried and murmured about it, you know, because you see Michael Jordan growing up. You don't want to play football. You go to a basketball game, the stands are packed. You go to a football game, you hear, you know, a couple people cheering, maybe 30 people in the stands, you know, that type of thing. So it was huge for him to have that much vision, because he knew that a lot of athletes were on the basketball court, and there's a lot more scholarships on football, you know, playing football. So it was a great decision for us.
You got drafted in the fourth round of the 2006 draft.
Yeah.
You probably felt a little bit like you were an underdog then. And how have you overcome that underdog status to now just be the elite wide receiver that you are?
Well, I was pretty mad about it. You know, everyone wants to go first round, second round, even third round. I would settle for third round, but I definitely felt like an underdog, especially, you know, with some of the stats and different things. But It just kind of fueled my passion to play and compete at this level. I always feel like I have something to prove. It always makes me mindful of the fact that a lot of people don't think I'm supposed to be here. And it kind of just adds to the fire that I have when I'm playing, whether it's blocking or going over the middle on third down. I'm trying to do everything I can to be the best player I can be. You know, some people set goals and they say, you know, I want to have 100 catches or 70 catches. I can't control that because I'm a receiver. But I can control how hard I play on each play. And that's my goal and my desire. I want to grade out 100% on each play.
And that's what one of your coaches told you, that you can't control how many catches that you have, but what you do on the field.
Eric Campbell, Sue Campbell, when I was in Michigan, he would always tell us, because we had some good receivers there. When I was there, we had, you know, Braylon Edwards and Steve Breast and Mario Manningham. And all of us were in the room together, and it was only one football, and all of us wanted the ball all the time. And he said, look, man, you can't count your catches, but you can, you know, control what you do on each play. And if one person catches the ball, all of you have succeeded because you guys are getting open for each other.
Who do you play for? Do you play for the people, for the youth that from your city that don't necessarily make it out alive?
Yeah, well, it's a couple different. Number one, I play as hard as I can for Jesus Christ because I want to bring him glory with the platform that I have. The next thing I play for is my family. I really want to make them so, so proud, not just my wife and kids, but my family. And then it goes to kids that are in Camden, because a lot of people don't even report some of the crimes that go on in their city because they're tired of hearing it over and over again. So I want to play hard for them and let them know that you can overcome any circumstance. It's not where you start off in life, it's where you finish. You know, that even though you're under, you know, the eight ball when it comes to books and education and funding, all of those types of things, if you have a strong mind and a want to, that you can accomplish it.
Well, you're musically talented as well. You play the piano, as we all know. But I often hear you sing at the NovaCare Complex all the time. Did you ever take professional singing lessons?
No, I'm terrible. No. I'm a note holder. I'm a note holder. I can stay in the pocket. I can sound good. You know, if I stay in a certain range, it's not that much. But you know, I'm just happy all the time. When you're happy, you sing. So.
Absolutely. Well, we're so glad to have you here, and we'll be continuing to hear people sing your praises.
All right. Thank you.
When the Eagles start the season 2-0, the fans are fired up and the pulse around the city is beating louder than ever. Here's E-Rock chiming in with a phrase of his own.
Listen up, Eagles fans. Class is now in session. In honor of the Eagles beating the Ravens, I'm going to teach you a common phrase we use here in Philadelphia. And no, it's not whiz with or whiz without. One word, two apostrophes, three syllables. How about that? Let's use it in a sentence, shall we? The Eagles' offense racked up 486 yards against the Baltimore Ravens' vaunted defense. How about that? The Eagles threw the ball 34 times, ran the ball 41 times, and won the time of possession battle by over 10 minutes of football. How about that? How about my man Brent Celek catching first down passes, getting rocked, and then telling the defense about it? Oh, yeah, and then hurdling Ed Reed for the first down. How about that? And then the Eagles coming from behind in the fourth quarter 2 weeks in a row to go 2-0 on the season. How about that? Now, how about that is not to be confused with how about them, which is also a perfectly acceptable phrase in this situation if you combine it with how about them Eagles. And up next, we have the Arizona Cardinals. And boy, what fond memories we all have of this team. Last time we played these guys, they essentially denied us a run to the playoffs. And last time we played them in their house, they denied us an appearance in the Super Bowl. Well, I got news for you, Cardinals. Only one of us is leaving this game 3-0. And these angry birds are coming for revenge. Yeah, how about that?
Eagles Green Zone is brought to you by NovaCare Rehabilitation, the power of physical therapy, Dunkin' Donuts, America runs on Dunkin', and Thomas Jefferson University Hospitals. Call 1-800-JEFF-NOW for an appointment.
Last week on the bracket breakdown, Bob, there were some major upsets.
Oh, there were some prizes. I know two guys, both named Brown. Bob Brown gets bounced. He's out of the bracket breakdown. Sheldon Brown, he's still in it, and we still want to hear from you. Go to PhiladelphiaEagles.com/bracket breakdown. Let us know your favorite Eagle of all time.
We sit down with your favorite players. What would you want to know? Tweet us at Geico's hashtag Ask an Eagle. For Bob Bambera, I'm Becky Brensinger. Thanks for tuning in to Eagles Green Zone.
This is my own picture of John Dornbos, his rookie year. Frosted tips, yeah. Nice goatee.
And what's even worse is
I love the pattern. Dude, I love the pattern. This is like this is Al. Al from Home Improvement right here.
Hey, what's even worse is this shirt's for my freshman year in college. And I have to admit that yes, the tips were frosted on the hairdo. And that was my rookie year, and there's no excuse for all you at home, there's no excuse why you should ever look like this. Don't do it to yourself.